Let us turn to the part of God's Word that we read together in John chapter 12 and at verse 37, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. John 12, 37, but though he had done so many miracles among them, yet they believed not on him. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. This, of course, was when Jesus was in the world. And here he was, teaching the Jews and telling them, verse 23, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Glorified in his death. And he speaks of the corn of wheat falling into the ground, and nothing would come of it unless it would die. He must die. And that's what he was teaching them. But they would not take anything in. They would not believe. They would not stop him and say to him, Lord, we need thy help. We need thee to turn us from our own ways to serve thee. They had seen so many miracles, which were intended to teach them. Even the raising of the dead, that took place by the power of Jesus. Mere men could not do that. They were to look to see what it was that was different about Jesus of Nazareth. Different from themselves, different from anyone else. And the miracles should have been something that gave them great insight into who he was and why he had come into the world. Yet they did not believe. Now, you see, whatever we might be thinking of, we should bring the matter to ourselves. What about us? We haven't seen miracles in that way. But we have the record of the miracles. The Word of God is telling us about the miracles. They are recorded in the Bible, as we noticed already, so that we might believe. Have we believed? Have we recognized Jesus to be the one he really is, the one who came down from heaven, that he might give life unto the world? Have we got that life? Have we been asking for that life? Have we been coming before God, asking for life through his name, through Christ Jesus, and what he has revealed himself to be? He was lifted up from the earth. He was raised up on the cross. And we might say that in our time, Christ is being lifted up in the preaching of the gospel. Christ is being set before you. We had that last Sabbath, for instance, when the minister was speaking about Christ's words on the cross, it is finished. Christ was set before us as the one he really is. Did we believe? Yes, there's a quest for us all. And it's not just have we ever believed, but did we believe on that occasion? Are we believing now when Christ is set before us, if only in a little way, at least so far? Are we believing? Are we looking away from ourselves? Are we trusting in Christ? Are we sensing our need of Christ, sinners that we are? Are we? Are we feeling our need? And are we thankful that Christ is being set before us? Thankful to God, I mean, for making the provision. Well, we have three main points here. First, the miracles were a testimony to Christ. Second, yet the people did not believe, by and large. And third, I want to give some reasons for their unbelief and for our unbelief, if we are still unbelieving. First then, the miracles were a testimony to Christ. Second, the people did not believe. And third, the reasons for unbelief. Well, first of all, we have this. The miracles, they were a testimony to Christ. Every miracle that Christ performed, it was saying something very significant about him. It was saying, and you could put it like this, Christ was saying, by implication, as he performed one miracle or another miracle, I am more than a man. I am the Son of God, come into this world. Will we stop there? I think we should go on. And think of Christ as saying, I have come into the world to save sinners. Well, Christ, as to his human nature, is away from this world. And what should we say about? He's on the throne of glory. As the God-man. And he's working miracles. But I'll come to that later, I trust. Even today, he is working miracles of grace. And, you see, when Christ was speaking and saying, now is my soul troubled, verse 27, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. A voice from heaven. And yet, they did not believe, at least by and large, they did not believe. Christ, and he is spoken to from heaven. And Christ, when he was being baptized, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he had that glorification, that exaltation in the midst of his humiliation, and with the deepest of his humiliation still before him. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. For this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And what was that hearing to involve? Was it just that they would say, we heard a voice from heaven. We couldn't make it out. Perhaps it was that it thundered, that there was thunder. And others thought that it was an angel speaking to him. They couldn't make it out. Christ made it out. It was spoken for his strengthening, spoken for his encouragement. With the great work before him that he was speaking about. It was that miracle. Yet they didn't believe. They didn't believe. What about us? When we hear about the miracles, when we hear about the significance of the miracles, are we believing? When the word is preached, when we read the word, when we read this passage, oh, is there any exercise of faith in our souls? You see, it should be a concern for us. Are we hearing the voice of Christ? Are we hearing the voice of God? There's a miracle. Not just the raising from the dead, giving the blind their sight, giving the deaf power to hear, multiplying the food that was available and so on. Yes, we hear that. But just now this voice from heaven, this miraculous voice, this voice that enters into all the, or comes among all the instances of human speech and other noises caused by human beings or animals. This miraculous voice, speaking outside, from outside of creation, the power of God to make the noises, putting it like that, the noises that we interpret as words. You see, the power of God. And there's so much more that could be said. But you see, this is true religion. This is the true religion. See, Isaiah chapter 41 of his prophecy. And he was saying this to those who were following false religion. This, show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Speaking to the false gods, of course, they couldn't hear, but their followers could. Those who had gone astray after false gods. Oh, show something about the future. And they couldn't. Or there may have been false prophecies. That was so. But they didn't work out. They didn't happen. But there's innumerable prophecies in Scripture. Some of them have been answered. The rest of them will be. Some of them have been fulfilled, is what I should have said. Others of them will be fulfilled. Yes. And, you see, Christ was speaking about the future. Christ was speaking about things that were yet to come. He was saying, for instance, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. People of every kind. There was a prophecy. And how many throughout the world ever since, over the centuries, who, because Christ was lifted up on the cross as the substitute for sinners, to suffer and die in their stead. Yes, he was lifted up. His prophecy has been fulfilled, and it is still being fulfilled. Sinners hear the voice of Christ through the preaching of the word. They believe, they are saved, they go on their way heavenward. Yes, there's that miracle. That miracle of grace going on. Yes. As Paul puts it in writing to the Ephesians, you hath he quickened. You hath he made spiritually alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Yes. There's a miracle of grace. Every one of these Ephesian believers, they were a miracle of grace, each of them. And it's still the same. Sinners. Well, there are those who were brought up to read the Bible, to go to church, to pray, and so on. And yet, there was no life in these things, no spiritual life. But the Holy Spirit came and worked a miracle in their souls. You may be somebody in your circle who were ungodly in one way or another, and there was a change. Did you see it as a miracle of grace? Did you see it as having something to say to you? This person, careless about the things of God, and there was a change, a saving change. Perhaps it was a brother or a sister. Perhaps it was a friend. But there's been a change. Why? Oh, it was a miracle. It couldn't have happened by mere human power. There was a supernatural work of grace in that person's soul. That person that had gone on unbelieving for so many years. And they're made alive. The Holy Spirit has begun to work in their soul. The Holy Spirit, He made them able and willing to look to Christ, to trust in Him. What a change. Think of that miracle. And ask yourself, do I believe? Has a change taken place in my soul? See, that was the comment that John is making as he writes this gospel, this account of Christ and the wonders He did, and the great work of offering Himself up as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice on behalf of sinners. Though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not. You see, the miracles are a testimony to divine power. Christ's miracles in the world, they remain a testimony to His divine power. It wasn't just human power He was using. He was working in the heart of one and another. Why was it, for instance, that the Greeks, Gentiles, came up to worship at the feast and asked, "Sir, we would see Jesus." That was their question to Philip, the request to Philip. "We want to see Jesus. Have you come to that? We would see Jesus. That's what I want." And you go down on your knees and you pour out your heart before God. At least you tried. Is it so? "I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him in the Word. I want to see in my soul and by my soul the great teaching that there is in the Word of God. How prominently is set forth for sinners like me to see. I want to see Him. Lord, open my eyes." We had that already today. We would see Jesus. What we had already was when the blind man or blind men were asked, were asking to have their eyes opened. "Yes, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." There's a good prayer. Here I am under the Word of God, you might say. May I see Jesus. May my eyes be open. The eyes of my soul, the eyes of my understanding, that I would take in this truth and that my soul would cast itself upon Christ Jesus, the great and glorious Savior. Yes, the great and the glorious Savior. Are you getting? He was showing forth His glory through these miracles. Are you seeing anything of His glory as you read about these miracles? Are you seeing anything of His glory as you read about sinners brought in? What a manifestation of the glory of Christ on the day of Pentecost. What you might say is, was that not the Holy Spirit? Yes, of course it was. But there would have been no outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not a sinner would have been saved on the day of Pentecost, apart from the work of Christ. And Christ is the great prophet now on the throne of glory, and pouring out the Spirit upon unworthy, willful sinners. Child of God, are you asking for that today? The Lord hears prayer, remember. And this is a dark day. What will change the darkness? What will change the darkness? How can the darkness be turned into light? And if you say at home, it's getting dark, you want some light, you throw a switch. Well, you see, there's something greater needed. That there might be light in the souls of sinners. It's the work of Christ that's at the bottom of it. And then there's the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing sinners to another mind. It's a miracle. That's what I'm at. It's a miracle. And oh, be asking for miracles of grace in this congregation. Be asking for miracles of grace throughout the world, that the cause of Christ would be built up. Was it not a miracle what happened on the day of Pentecost? And yes, it's a miracle when even one sinner is converted. What about Lydia, for instance? And the Lord works powerfully. The Lord changes the hearts of sinners miraculously. Supernatural power is what's involved for the sake of Christ. Yes. And as I quoted already today, it's these miracles are recorded. The miracles of healing, the miracles of multiplying food, the miracles of raising from the dead, they're recorded in Scripture. That we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. You see? And we're not looking for miracles of healing, for instance, today. We might use the word loosely, but that's another matter. What we have is these miracles recorded that we might see that Jesus is the Messiah, the one sent by the Father, the one who came into the world to save sinners, and he is saving sinners still. He's on the throne of glory, working by his Holy Spirit. Let us go to him. Yes, might be impressed if a large congregation was led out of a church, and the message given out was, we're going to see Jesus. Well, where would they go? That's not it. But you see, there may be this, a large congregation or a small one, and by the application of the truth proclaimed at that service, there might be any number of sinners going out, not out of the door, but out of themselves, as it were, to Christ. Looking unto Jesus, that's just another way of putting it. Putting their trust in him. Ah, do we hear this in our souls this evening? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Sinner, deserving eternal death. This one who died for sinners. This one who took the punishment of sinners. And he is telling you to come, that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you asking for grace? Are you asking for the powerful working of the Holy Spirit? Are you asking to be drawn in your soul to Christ, that you would have a meeting with him? I was speaking about that already today, Let me mention it again. Having a meeting with Christ. What a wonderful meeting it was that the prodigal son returning home had with his father. What a wonderful meeting. Yes. And there's that kind of meeting taking place again and again, even in this ungodly generation. There's people here who have had that meeting with Christ. They came at his call. Perhaps they didn't recognize what was happening. But they came. They were constrained to come. They couldn't stay away. But they laid hold on Christ. They saw him as the one whom the Father sent to be the Savior of the world, and they embraced. Yes. It comes to my mind of what Randall McLean used to quote from John Calvin. Faith as a warm embracing of Christ. Faith repeated, not just at the first time, and perhaps the sinner not particularly conscious of that warm embracing of Christ when it first took place. And we don't need to be looking for that first embracing of Christ to see if we have found salvation. You see, what we should be thinking about is coming to Christ now. Whatever was true about the past, we're to come to Christ now. And embrace him warmly by his grace, by his power, for the sake of what he did when he came into the world, when he was in the world, when he came to save sinners. But the point is, just now, the people did not believe. Yes. He came unto his own. His own, according to the outward order of things. His own, who were circumcised, who were thereby made, brought into the church, the visible church, as by baptism, people today are brought into the visible church. And they have privileges. They have the privilege of preaching, in most cases. They have the privilege of having the word of God. Well, some don't. But you see, they have something of the word of God written in their hearts. And they can go back and read what is in their hearts. Put there by the Holy Spirit, applied by divine grace. Yes. And they can go away with something speaking to them. Might be this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes. And they may be given anew that petition, so graciously used as the Holy Spirit applied the truth to his soul. I'm speaking of the publican, I should say, at the temple. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's in the word of God. But what we need more is that it would be written in our hearts. And let us be asking that the Lord in infinite mercy would be writing these words in our hearts. Yes. Writing these words in our hearts. But the thing is, he came unto his own, and his own did not receive it. They rejected. That was according to the prophecy. You see? And we are to think of that as strengthening what we should know about Christianity is the true religion. And I'm not just speaking about the New Testament. I'm speaking about the Old Testament and the New Testament together. Yes. And here is the fulfilling of the future. When we find that when Christ was going about and speaking to them, speaking to those who were at that time in the visible church, and you see, I'm thinking of Isaiah 53 at the beginning. And who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. People don't want to become friends with those that perceive as ugly. And that seems to be the perception that the people of the Saviour's time in this world had of himself. When they saw that there was no beauty that they should desire him. They saw no beauty in Christ. And what was wrong? What was wrong with Christ? Nothing. But they did not like to see perfect holiness. They did not want to come close to perfect holiness. And when the one who is perfect holiness was speaking, they didn't want to hear that. There was that day in the synagogue of Capernaum that we read about in John chapter 6. And when the Savior was speaking wonderful things about the effects of the word on the souls of sinners, they went away. It was a hard saying as far as they were concerned. They didn't want to hear any more of it. No. There was no beauty in it. There was no attractiveness in it. And yet, they had the great teacher with them. They weren't putting things together as they might have if they were seeking God's grace. We might have difficulties. We might have many difficulties. People may be influenced by those whose thinking is molded by the devil and molded by those who are away from God. But you see, they had the opportunity, and we have the opportunity, of going in prayer to God. I don't understand, you might say. I don't understand this matter. I don't understand what was being preached at such and such a time. I so often do not understand, you might say. Go and do what these people in the Capernaum synagogue did not do. Go and ask the Lord, teach me. Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine. And to observe it to the end. If there's that supernatural work in our souls, if there's that miraculous work in my soul, then I will incline my heart to these things. Yes, by God's grace. By God's miraculous, gracious power. Now, still staying with what happened at Capernaum Synagogue. Were they all like that saying? We cannot understand. It's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can listen to that stuff, people might say today? Who can listen? It's too hard. It's too demanding. Ah, but there were others. And particularly Simon Peter, though he was doubtless just a spokesman for the others. Though one wouldn't think that Judas was making much. Perhaps he would have been glad to join those who left the synagogue and left Christ. But you see, he was still the subject of God's long suffering. Would he at last receive the truth about Jesus? But I was going to refer to Peter when he answered the Saviour's question with these words, "To whom shall we go?" That was the words of eternal life. And that's the language of those who have been changed by almighty power. Those who have had a miracle of grace worked in their souls. A minority then, a minority now. A very small minority. And yet, you see, there's that work of grace going on. There will yet be a great work of grace when multitudes upon multitudes will be brought into the kingdom of God. When, in a sense, we might say, the day of Pentecost was just a small thing, in one sense. Yes, every conversion is a great thing. And when multitudes upon multitudes throughout the world are brought into the kingdom of God, when the church of God will increase vastly, when days of gospel blessing will be brought about everywhere. You see, the only difference in a way is this, the numbers involved. The work of grace will be the same. There's the receiving of Christ, the going out of themselves to meet Christ, that will still be the same. The miraculous working of the Holy Spirit, that will still be the same. Yes, and they will be saying with Peter, when so many were rejecting him, and it will be still the same when so many will be receiving Christ. To whom shall we go? That was the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. What a test. He has seen what the miracles were pointing him to. He has seen what the teaching of the Savior was pointing him to. He had seen what the scriptures of the Old Testament were pointing him to. Yes. And that's what we should be seeking. Though so many were rejecting Christ. Yes. The Savior was saying, or God was saying in Psalm 81, "My people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me." Israel didn't want me at all. Yes. Israel, the Church of God in effect. How many within the Church of God are rejecting, even in an outward way, the testimony of Scripture against the miracle, about the miracles? But you see, it's all very well to say, "I believe that these miracles took place." But you see, are the miracles having the effect on our souls that they ought to have? That we should receive them, you see, as testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are we believing in what is revealed to us? That's the question. But let us go on to notice this, some of the reasons for this unbelief. Why did they not believe? Well, you see, they didn't want Christ. As I said already, they didn't like the perfection of holiness that Christ was showing in himself. And they did not value the degree of holiness that the Holy Spirit was working in the hearts of others. We don't want to live like that. We don't want to be restricted. Ah, well. What we need is another view of reality. The disappointed unto men wants to die. and after this the judgment. No other opportunity after death of finding salvation. We must have it now. And you see, if we are rejecting, if we are unwilling to have Christ, then no wonder if we are left to ourselves and left to condemnation. You see, miracles in themselves can do nothing. The Bible will do nothing unless we have divine power making us willing to receive it and its teachings, and especially to receive the one who is revealed in Scripture. Yes. But what we need is that the Lord would bless the word to us. Remember the rich man and in hell. And he wanted Lazarus to go and appear to his brothers so that they would believe. If they saw a miracle of that kind, someone coming back from the dead, then the rich man is saying they would believe, they would repent. But no, what they need is the saving power of the word applied by the Holy Spirit. You see, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's how it is. Somebody might be saying, I wish I could see a miracle. But do you no good? That's not the appointed means. But the means appointed by God for today, that it's the word of God. And it's the word of God that in which is recorded the miracles that Christ and other holy men of God worked while they were in this world. Yes. We need to go to the Bible. We need to be going to the word of God as we hear it in his house. You would do well to be asking, Lord, show this to me. When you hear about the miracle of the resurrection, for instance, so important in considering what Christ did. Yes, the great importance of his death, but it's a death that was followed by a resurrection. The work was finished. That's his test. And that's his testimony, one might say, when Christ is bringing about the salvation of sinners. When you see the work of Christ through the Holy Spirit in the salvation of sinners. How many of the people of God gathered here now? How many of them were followers of Christ 50 years ago. Now, that number is not zero, but, and it's pointless to try to work out a figure. That's not my point. But you see, what I'm pointing to is this. Christ is still working, and we should be thankful for that. There's every reason to say that when Christ actually draws a sinner to himself, he is working. He is still working. It's a miracle. Don't despair because there are no miracles of that kind. Yes. Oh, if the brothers of that rich man I was referring to, the rich man and Lazarus, well, if his brothers spared in this world in God's long suffering still, if they were to read the word of God, if they were to look around them, and they might say, well, there's that woman over there. Oh, there's that man in that place. And they're not what they were. They're now, there's something of Lazarus about these people now. Well, they had seen a miracle. Or two miracles. Two miracles of grace. And that should have had an influence on them. That Lazarus returning from the grave could not have had. You see, what we should be looking for is grace showed in what I might call the ordinary course of miracles, the ordinary course of providence. Yes. Through the word of God and through the means of grace that he had, the sacrifices, for instance, sacrifice offered instead of sinners, a sacrifice offered in the place of Israel so that their sins might be forgiven. But to look beyond the sacrifice, as David was doing, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so on in Psalm 22, speaking of Christ and the great work that he accomplished. And you see, the people of the time that Christ was speaking about, the rich man and Lazarus, yes, they were to be thinking of what was being shown to them in the sacrifices. Yes, and we can look back to the sacrifice. We can see the truth of what sin deserves. Sin deserves to be punished. But why could Israel's sins be forgiven? It was because of what Christ, the coming Messiah, would do in the future. And that's what we have to look back to him. Yes, but you see, the fundamental reason for unbelief, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That rebellious heart is not willing to have Christ. And every rebellious heart is unwilling to have Christ. What you need, and what the people of God need more of, is the saving, sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And what the unconverted need, it's that saving, regenerating work of grace in their soul, making them what they are not yet, making them what they have never been, but making them what the Holy Spirit can transform a soul into. Yes, and going further, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Why do sinners reject Christ? Why will they not believe the report of the gospel? Yes, they need to realize that the arm of the Lord, the power of the Lord, must come upon them. Let us be asking for the powerful work of the Holy Spirit in our souls, so that we would see Jesus opening our eyes, opening our ears, opening our hearts, making us willing in the day of his power, not human power, that there is such a thing as the Lord bringing the words of a preacher home to the hearts of sinners with power. But it's not human power. And some preachers might speak more powerfully at some times than others, and speak more powerfully to the hearing of some sinners than others. But you see, ultimately, what must take place is the word of the truth of the gospel applied with power to the souls of sinners. You see, the great obstacle in the human heart, it's the unwillingness of the sinner to come to Christ. As the Savior said, ye will not come. You are unwilling to come. There's something wrong with your will. If you're still away from Christ, there's something wrong with your will. There's no willingness to come to Christ. Ask the Lord to make you willing. In a day of his power, he is able to do that. There's no need for miracles of healing. Healing of the bodily senses, just now. But there's a need for this hidden, secret miracle of the Lord making sinners willing to come. Oh, hear the Lord say, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And then he says, turn from your evil ways, for why will you die? Yes, spoken originally to the house of Israel, and spoken many, many times, and spoken with power many, many times to the hearts of sinners. Would it not be a wonderful thing if such words were applied powerfully to the hearts of sinners this evening? Let us be asking for that. He is able. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, to wonderful things. We are weak, we are poor. But grant to take thy word and apply it to the hearts of sinners. Oh, may there be sinners made willing this evening. May there be something of thy power exerted on those who are refusing to come to Christ. Make them willing. Bless thy children. Help them to pray. Help them to see the good of Jerusalem. Make that a blessing for them, to see thy word coming with power, thy cause being built up. Bring down Satan's kingdom and all its manifestations. Do good in thy good pleasure to Zion. Come among us, Lord. Bless all that is done. Bless all that is done at communion seasons. Grant to do wonderfully. Hear us graciously and love us freely. Bless us with all spiritual blessings. Do us good. For Jesus' sake, amen.